Thank you, Don.
It's a blessing. I'll tell you, I enjoyed that, and what a truth that is. My Heavenly Father watches over me. You know, if you're not saved today, that would be a great reason right there why you ought to get saved. Amen? Because we have God, our Heavenly Father, watching over us. And that is such a wonderful truth. No matter what goes on, no matter what's happening in our world today, and preached about the Antichrist last week and talking about the coming of Christ and all of that, doesn't matter what evil is mounting up here in this world, our Heavenly Father watches over us. Praise the Lord for that. Go with me, if you will, to the book of Exodus. Keep your place here in Numbers. Go to Exodus chapter 19. I want to show you just a verse here, Exodus 19. Of course, Mount Sinai, we know, is where God gave Moses the law. And all the thou shalts and thou shalt nots that everybody gets all bent out of shape about nowadays. Exodus 19 and verse 16, the Bible says in reference to this, as it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And I want you to just take note of the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And of course, the law is something that should be trembled at. It is the law that brings us to the reality that we're sinners. It is the law that we recognize that our flesh can't keep it. You say, well, I'm going to work my way to heaven. Then you're going to work your way to hell instead, because it is impossible to work our way to heaven because we cannot keep the law. And all you have to do is see the law and look at the law and you find out that you are a sinner. It is the law that is our schoolmaster that brings us to Jesus Christ. It is that frustration, that fear, that law, a law that caused the people in the camp to tremble as Mount Sinai was smoking and the lightning was flashing and the trumpet was sounding. And it was that fear, that law. I can't keep this law. Because it wasn't long right before that the people said, oh, we'll keep the law. Oh, yeah, we got it under control. We'll do it, sure. But then when they saw the law, they found out they themselves could not keep it. That's why God had to send His Son, Jesus, to die on the cross. Because we could not keep the law. We're all sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And because of that, God sent His Son, Jesus, to die on the cross to be the sacrifice so that we could be saved, so our sins could be forgiven. And so the main thing I want you to see here, though, and I got a little off away from that, but the voice of the trumpet. In other words, God has something He wants the people to see. He has something He wants them to gather to hear. Something He wants them to learn. And therefore, there at Mount Sinai was a trumpet. It was a trumpeting from God. The Bible didn't say who. Maybe Gabriel played the trumpet. I don't know. But somehow, there was a trumpeting. And then after that, of course, God gives the commands. God says, I want you to hear the law. I want you to hear the commands that I give. Now, in Numbers 10, we have a similar kind of a story. We don't have Mount Sinai there, but we have two trumpets being made. And we have trumpets that are going to give direction to God's people as they travel to Canaan. Two trumpets that are going to tell them which way to go and when to go and when to stop. And they're going to be trumpets that will sound alarms. They're going to be trumpets that will alert them to the enemy being near. And when they need to go, this tribe needs to move and that tribe. And it's very, very obvious that these trumpets are important as to the direction that the people need in order to get to Canaan and all along the way to Canaan. There would be enemies along the way. There would be trials along the way. There would be times to go. There would be times to stop. There'd be great victories. There would be some defeats. But these trumpets, all along the way, God is saying, I'm going to give you direction as I did at Mount Sinai. I'm going to guide you. I'm going to tell you how you are to live. And these two trumpets are going to be one of the ways, God says, that I'm going to direct you. And I'm going to show you how to go on the way to Canaan. And you know, God gives us His precious word that tells us how we are to live. It tells us when we're to stop. It tells us when we're to go. It tells us when there's an alert and there's an alarm that needs to be sounded. It tells us when we need to attack. It tells us all these same things that these two trumpets. And so I'd like to preach to you this morning about the silver trumpets and compare them with the Bible, the Word of God that God's given us on our path, on our way, on our journey. So that, you know, what a wonderful thing. God doesn't just leave us hanging. Now, you may feel like you're hanging today. You may feel like, oh, I don't know what to do. Hey, look, God has given you His Word. And just as a priest would blow a trumpet, and the tribe would know what to do, just as a priest would blow a trumpet, and the people would know what to do, God has given you His Word so that you can know what to do. No Christian has to scratch his head and say, I don't have a clue. Because He's given you direction in His precious book. Father, bless the preaching. Speak to our hearts and give us what we need today, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to show you three things that these silver trumpets are like the Word of God, and they compare very well to the Word of God. And just three things I want to share with you today, and I think it's really a blessing as we think about reading through our Bibles again in 2010. I a couple of years ago I challenged everyone to read through your Bibles, and every year now we have quite a few folks that are reading through your Bible in a year, and that is wonderful. I mean, that is such a great, great blessing. But I want you to maybe take another step. And I want you to think about another step as I go through this message and you think about these trumpets. Because the next step is actually my third point, and that is the trumpeting. We have the Word of God. We have the method, the guide for everybody's life. In this book is a guide for a lost person. I mean, here's someone on their way to hell. Here's someone who, if they died right now, they would go straight to hell. This book has a way out. This book has the answer for that person. This book has the answer for that person who is ready to commit suicide. This book has the answer for that person who is on drugs and they can't get off of drugs. This book has the answer for that person who's in prison today. And this book has the answer for that person who has cancer. This book has the answer for every problem, every need, every way that we need to be led in our lives. This book gives a direction for it. Everything. Everything that you possibly need, everything that your neighbors need, everything that those folks that work with you need, everything is right there in that book that everybody needs. And the answer to America's problems are right there in the book. The answer to the world's problems are in the book. Oh, you know, they say, well, global warming. Well, they ought to check outside. Honestly, but I got news for you. The answer's here in this book. The answer is in the book. And all they need to do is look at the book. But I want to talk to you about the silver trumpets. I want to show you some things about the silver trumpets. Number one, we see the trumpets. The trumpets. And it's interesting here, chapter 10, the book of Numbers, it says, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, make thee two trumpets of silver. Now, obviously, later on there would be more trumpets, and there were all kinds of different trumpets, but I'm especially keying on these because of this passage and some of the things that just are so much like God. So much like God to lead His people. So much like God to give them away so they'd know what to do. So much like God who put a pillar of a cloud and by day and a pillar of fire by night so the people wouldn't have to wonder which way to go. And all of that certainly was tied into these trumpets sounding. Which tribe goes first? Well, listen for the sound of the trumpet. When should we assemble to hear our instruction? Listen for the sound of the trumpet. Hey, well, how will we know if the enemy is outside the camp? Listen for the sound of the trumpet. And isn't it like God to make us aware of what we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to do it? Do not sit here today as a Christian and say, God hasn't told me, because He has told you. He has told us in His Word. He has made it clear in His Word with the sound of the trumpet of the Word of God. God has told us. And here we start off with talking about the trumpets with there being two of them. And I think there's two of them here because of the balance. God is so balanced. And if you go through Scripture and you study the Scripture, you see God's balance. Now, certainly, there were two sons of the priest, sons of Aaron. But later, obviously, there were more trumpets that were involved in the using of the trumpets. But two is a balance. And in the Bible, we see the balance of law and grace. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, you know, only in God's Word can law and grace come together. Amen? I mean, only in God's Word can you have that kind of a balance where there's the law, but then there's a God who says, I will honor that law, but I'll also show grace. Because God can do that in Jesus Christ. What an amazing thing where the same book that tells of the judgment of God also tells us of the mercy of God. Isn't that something? But again, that's only provided by the blood of Jesus Christ. Because if judgment is all there is, then we all die and we all go to hell because all of us have sinned. But because God sends His Son, and His Son dies on the cross, and His Son pays for our sins, therefore God says, I can have mercy on you. And judgment and mercy, they just come right together. Isn't that something? There's two, but God is balanced. There's two tones to the gospel message. Some have compassion, making a difference. Others save with fear. We talked about this in the Sunday school class, and I asked how many folks got saved because somebody preached a message about hell or about the second coming, and many hands went up. I asked how many of you got saved because somebody talked to you and you believe it was the goodness of God that led you, the love of God that led you to Christ, and many others raised their hand. Isn't that something? I mean, somebody can get saved because they're scared to death of going to hell, and somebody else can get saved. The same salvation, same heaven they'll go to, same blood of Jesus that is going to cleanse them from their sin, but they got saved because they saw how good God is. They got saved because they realized my heavenly Father watches over me, and they said, no one's watching over me. I need a heavenly Father, and they got saved. Isn't that wonderful? Same salvation, but just two trumpets. Two different ways of getting that truth across. Some with compassion, others saved with fear. Isn't that is just amazing to me. How about the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance, while others, it's the fear of God that leads them to salvation. It's like these trumpets. Some, you have to understand, these trumpets would call somebody to a festival, but they would also call them to war. Same trumpets. Same trumpets, huh? The same trumpets that would have the sound of comfort would also have a sound of alarm because the enemy is encircling the camp. Same trumpets. That's how the Bible is, you know? It's so balanced. You know, it's this Bible that tells us about the Comforter who's come to comfort you and I. But the same Bible that tells us that the enemy is out there after us. The same Bible that tells us that times are tough and there's sorrow and there's trials and there's tribulation. And the same Bible says, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. It's that same comfort that God, or the same book that tells us that God is going to be our comforter in that trial. Same book. Same book. Same book says the enemy is attacking and the enemy is strong and all of that. But it's the same book that says underneath are the everlasting arms of our Father. Same book. Same book. I mean, you can read this book and get reading it and read it. You know, you folks are having trouble all the time. Get in the book. Read the book. What a balance. What a balance. The number two, I believe, means balance. Notice not only the number, but see the nature here. And these are silver trumpets. Silver trumpets. They would be precious and have a good tone. Silver trumpets, and I compare again to the Word of God, Psalm 12 and verse 6. Psalms 12, 6. And you know the verse. Look what the Bible says about itself. The words of the Lord are pure words as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Hey, you don't have to worry about the words of God. You and I do not have to worry about the words of God. God said He would preserve those words. And these trumpets, you know, they were made of silver and they were precious. They had a good tone. They were lasting material. Do you understand? The Word of God is lasting. It is eternal. It is eternal, and while all other books are made out of tin and out of wood and out of other materials and they don't last, the Word of God stands forever. And the Bible does stand, as the song says, and thank God we have the King James Bible because we speak English, amen? And downstairs they have the Word of God and they speak Spanish, and God has preserved His Word for them as God has preserved His Word for us. And praise God, we have His words. We have them. You know, the people did not have to worry about direction because God said, hey, make the trumpets the way I say to make the trumpets and use the trumpets the way I say to use the trumpets, and you will know where to go and when to go and how to go, and I'll make sure it's very clear to you. And folks, God's done that for us too. The only thing that is not clear is the confusion that Satan has caused. Amen. The number, the nature. They are silver. Notice they're made out of a whole piece of silver. That tells me about the unity in the Bible. Do you know everything in the Bible agrees with everything in the Bible? Everything agrees. There are no contradictions in the Word of God. Somebody says, well, I found this, or I found that, or I found... I'm going to tell you something. God put it that way, and the way He did it, because God wants you to dig into it, and when you dig into it, you'll find out everything is perfect. Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. Everything agrees with everything. Well, it says here in the New Testament, but it doesn't say, let me tell you something, all agrees. It's all made out of one piece. It's all the Word of God. They are the words of God, and God agrees with God. I'll tell you what you need to do when you start thinking that you can't understand it. Get to know the author. Because when you know the author, he can guide you into all the truth that you need to know. Thank God that it's unified. There are no contradictions because we have the same author. 2 Peter 1 and verse 20, a familiar passage here. 2 Peter verse 1, or chapter 1, verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Amen? For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And God puts together the Word of God. He breathes the words, and He doesn't contradict Himself. He knows what He's doing. Amen? You say, well, I found the contradiction. Then you better search your own heart, because it's not in the Word of God. It's in whatever, you don't like it. Oh, there's a lot of people that attack the Bible because they don't like it. There's a lot of people that say, well, this silver's not like that silver. No. But go back. Hey, it's all made out of one piece of silver. And it all has one author. Now, if we had several authors, we might have some trouble. You know, if Tim wrote a Bible, it would be all about giving. If Kelvin wrote a Bible, it'd be all about the bus ministry. You see what I'm saying? I mean, honestly, we'd get in all kinds of trouble if we were writing. If Don Pickenpaul wrote the Bible, everybody'd be required to be in the choir. Who could sing? I'm just saying, there's one author, just one author, and it's God. And it's perfect. It is unified. The trumpets, number one. Notice number two, the trumpeters. Back to Numbers chapter 10, verse 8. Notice who the trumpeters are. The sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow with the trumpets. And they shall be to you for an ordinance forever throughout your generations. So who's the trumpeters? The priests. Let me show you something in the Bible about the priests. First of all, by the way, 1 Peter 2 and verse 9, we were just there. 1 Peter 2 and verse 9, it talks about the priesthood. It says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. And holy nation, a peculiar people. You say, boy, at the factory, they tell me I'm strange. The Bible says you're supposed to be. Now, that doesn't mean be weird. Amen. But we are peculiar. We are supposed to be different than the rest of the world. He says, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So who's going to take this trumpet that God has given us? Who's going to take this word of God that God's given us, that is our guide, that is our means of direction? Who's going to take it and trumpet it to the rest of the world, even to other Christians? Well, it's going to have to be us. Why? Because we're a royal priesthood. We're the only ones who can play that trumpet. Are you listening? You say, well, I heard this one professor talking about the Word of God. Whoa. If he's a professor but not a possessor, he has no right to blow that trumpet. Unsaved people can't handle the trumpet. Unsaved people don't know what the trumpet says. Unsaved people can't breathe into the trumpet. Don't you understand? They cannot discern the Word of God. They cannot preach it. They cannot teach it. They don't understand it until they have Jesus Christ as their Savior, until they're born again, until they also are in the priesthood. No one else was allowed to play that trumpet except for the priests. Amen. And guess what? No one can discern and preach and teach this book except someone who is a saved person. That's why unsaved people tear it up all the time. That's why they mess with it and they interpret it all wrong. Because the things of Christ are foolishness to them. They don't understand it. Who's the trumpeters? Christians. Priesthood. The priest was to bring God to man and bring man to God. And when you get saved, you become a priest. What are you supposed to do? You're supposed to bring God to man and man to God. And we have the trumpet, the Word of God. What's it say about priests? I'm glad you asked. Back in Numbers, chapter 8, verse 6. Here's what it says. And by the way, again, this is all Christians. We're all priests now. When you get saved, chapter 8, verse 6, here's what it says first. Take the Levites from among the children of Israel. Take them out from among the children of Israel. Number one, the trumpeters they're priests, they're called. Okay? You're taken out. You're taken out from among all the others, and you're different. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? That's why it says we're a peculiar people. We're not like the rest of the world. That's why I don't understand why people want to be like the rest of the world. Huh? We're not like them. We're called out from them. Amen? By the way, you liked that when you got saved. You liked that when you found out that being called out from them was to escape hell. Being called out from them was to get a ticket in the rapture. You liked that. I did. I'll be honest with you. I still like it. Why do we keep slipping back toward them? But anyway, that's another message. Come back tonight. Called, okay? Called. All Christians have been called. Isn't that great? Praise the Lord. Called to be a priest. Chapter 8, verse 7. It says, and thus shalt thou do unto them to cleanse them. Number one, they're called. Number two, they're cleansed. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Cleanses us from all our sins. Huh? And such were some of you, but now ye are washed. Isn't that good? Praise the Lord. I mean, cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ and daily washed by the Word of God. Huh? I mean, that is such a precious, precious truth. You say, well, preacher, I messed up again. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise God for that. They're called. They're cleansed. Then thirdly, chapter 8 and verse 10, it says, thou shalt bring the Levites before the Lord. And the children of Israel shall put their hands upon the Levites. Not only are they called and cleansed, but they're also consecrated, set apart to be used by God. Set apart from anyone else to be used by God. Set apart. Isn't that good? Whew, I like that. What am I supposed to do? Well, you're supposed to take the trumpet and play it. That's what you're supposed to do. Amen. That's, boy, this is good. And then the fourth thing here, not only are they called, cleansed, consecrated, but also chapter 8 and verse 15, and after that shall the Levites go in to do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. Commissioned. We do have a commission. The Bible says, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Well, that's the pastor's job. That's every Christian's job. That's our commission. We call it the Great Commission. And you know, a big part of that service is taking the trumpets and telling people the direction. Sound an alarm! That's preaching. Amen. Do you think our world needs an alarm sounded? Huh? I mean, honestly, it's not our opinions that matter. It's what God said to play on the trumpet. It's not, hey, you know, the priest takes the silver trumpet and he says, well, you know, I want all the tribes on the west side. I want them to move this way. And God says, don't you dare blow that trumpet till I tell you to blow that trumpet. Amen. Isn't that good? Don't you dare tell them your opinion. You tell them my opinion. That's why, thank God, we have His opinion right here. We have the truth right here. Hey, blow the trumpet, the truth. Amen? The trumpeters, they're the priests. They're called, cleansed, consecrated, commission. And a part of that commission is to blow the trumpet. Hey, if you're not reading the Word, you can't share the Word much. If you don't know the Word, how can you tell someone else the Word? But I'm telling you, it's the guidance that every human being needs. It's a guidance that a Christian brother needs. It's a guidance that a lost person needs. Amen. Hey, do people at work come up and ask you questions about the Bible? Well, no, I try not to talk about it. That's a shame because you are a trumpeter. Amen. The trumpets. Number two, the trumpeters. Number three, the trumpeting. The trumpeting. You see, here's the thing. God's Word, like those trumpets, it was God's will. And God's Word is perfect. It is absolutely perfect. Now, I want you to think about that. Okay, you have a lot of books. I've got a library full of books. I got all kinds of books. Lots of different kinds of books. But only one is perfect. It's my Bible. Now, you have to understand, the table of contents and the concordance, and that's not perfect. But the words that God gave, they're perfect. Okay? And so, that is in this book right here. I have New Testaments. I have them in all my coats. I have one in my car. I have New Testaments. Okay? The words that God gave that are in that book, they're perfect. I have little tracts that I carry around. And I have my own private stash of tracts. So you don't take my tracts. But I like these tracts, and I carry them with me, and you have tracts as well. They have words that God gave, and they're on those tracts. And you know those words? They are absolutely perfect. Perfect. They are the words that could help any person with anything. But you have to understand the trumpeting and how important it is, because God said, make these silver trumpets, but they were only as good as when they had the breath of man blowing through them. What are you saying, preacher? And by the way, not just the breath of any man, but it had to be a man, a righteous man, filled with the Spirit of God. Led by the Holy Spirit of God. Are you listening? The Holy Spirit's breath through a man. Now, I see the comparison very obviously. You know, without the Holy Spirit, there's a whole lot of sound, but there's not any result. You know, you and I, we say a lot of words and a lot of things, and we do a lot of trumpeting throughout a day. But you know what? Without the Holy Spirit of God, it's just sound. Oh, we need to take the Word of God, and we need to say, God, fill me with Your Spirit and let me proclaim that. You say, well, nothing's happening when I tell people. The Holy Spirit of God needs to be working. But again, the trumpet just sits idle if it doesn't have the breath. You take our little orchestra here, and we have several that play the trumpet. And those trumpets, as long as they're just sitting in their case, they're doing nothing. Do you understand? We have the perfect Word of God, and the Bible on a shelf is the perfect Word of God with dust all over it. That's all it is. Huh? We have the Word of God, perfect Word of God on a gospel track. And if it's just sitting in a drawer somewhere, then it's perfect inside the drawer. It's perfect in a pocket, and it's perfect in a purse. But until it's given out, until man breathes with the Holy Spirit's power, it just sits. Your New Testament, it's a perfect Word of God. And if it's in your drawer, sitting, then it's perfectly hidden from helping anybody. It'd be like these silver trumpets just sitting on a shelf somewhere. And the enemy encircles the camp. Blow the alarm! Well, trumpets are off in the cabinet somewhere. The western side needs to move. Blow the alarm! Well, we can't because trumpets are... You know, I often wonder how disappointed God has to be because we're the trumpeters. And so many times the Word of God just sits. It's perfect. It is what your neighbor needs. It is what your coworker needs. It is what your loved one needs. It is what that teenager needs. It is what the bus kids need. It is perfect. And it's in our pocket. It's in our purse. It's in our coat. It's not being used. Real quick, let me just tell you what all these trumpets were used for. The trumpeting that took place. They were used to assemble. They were used to abide so the people knew when to abide. They were used so the people would know when to arise. They were used as an alarm. They were used to attack. They were used to announce the Jubilee. They were used to anoint a king. Seven things they were used for. Let me just make it real practical here and then we'll be done. First of all, they were used to assemble. To assemble. The people, and it talks about that here in Numbers chapter 10. It talks about verse 7, when the congregation is to be gathered together, and several other verses that talk about the assembling of the congregation, and they would blow the trumpets, verse 3, when they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. It is no shock to me that the Word of God says we need to assemble. Amen. It is no shock to me that the Word, which again, I'm talking about trumpeting the Word of God, very clearly, it tells us we need to assemble. We need to assemble, and not only assemble us, we need to assemble lost people so they can hear the Word of God. Yes, we go to them. Yes, we tell them. Yes, we should be trumpeting everywhere we go, but literally, we need to blow an assembly and say, hey, you need to get here so you can hear the truth, because we have it. Amen. You know why so many are so quiet about this thing? Because I'm not sure you really believe we have the truth. We do. We do. And the trumpet would be blown and the people would gather. By the way, there's going to be a big gathering coming up. I think it's going to be real soon. Amen. And guess what's going to put us all together? Anybody know? Well, I'll show you then. 1 Corinthians 15. You just added 5 minutes to the message. Unintelligent looks, add 5 minutes. You say, yeah, but we know who's sitting up front. Well, you need to get up here. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. Somebody, I am offended. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, watch what it says, at the last trump. There's an assembly. Amen. There's an assembly. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Praise God. 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians 4. I told you he added 5 minutes. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And there, whoa, what a trumpet gathering that's going to be. Amen. I mean, the trumpet says, assemble! Assemble! Praise God. What are we going to assemble for? Well, we assemble because God wants to tell us how to be saved. We assemble. Look at Isaiah 58, verse 1. Here's trumpeting again. Isaiah 58 and verse 1. Why should we bring unsaved people in? Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. I know that's not popular, but that's something we're supposed to assemble people and show them. How do you show them? Just read the word. Just blow the trumpet. That's what you have to do. Just blow the trumpet. Everybody needs to see that they're a sinner. Everyone. I know it's not popular. And oh, let me tell you something. One of these days, that's going to be a hate crime. Well, Your Honor, he told me I'm a sinner. Now, you know, there was a day Your Honor would say, you are. But not today. Nobody is. There are no absolutes. Huh? Hey, you know what, folks? Honestly, that doesn't excuse us from trumpeting the truth. We still have to do it. I like this in back in Numbers 10 and verse 10. It says, also in the day of your gladness and your solemn days in the beginnings of your month, you shall blow with the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings. You know, not only is there a call to salvation with the blow of the trumpet, but there's also, not only is there a call to salvation and the showing of sin, but there's blowing the trumpets over the sacrifice to show sin paid for. Hey, you don't gather people together just to tell them they're sinners. You gather them to tell them they're sinners because it's true. It is true. But you tell them Jesus died on the cross to pay for their sin. It is not a negative message. It is a positive message. It's a message of salvation. A message of forgiveness. And let me tell you something. As we think about the Word of God being like the trumpet, Jesus Christ should be the center of all of our preaching. If you trumpet anything, trumpet Jesus. If you're going to trumpet at work, trumpet Jesus. If you're going to trumpet among your family, trumpet Jesus. Not that He's just a good man, but that He is the sacrifice, that He is the only way to heaven. Witnessing or preaching anything else is vain. Without a sacrifice, it's hell for everyone. If His sacrifice can't be tied into your message, then you need to get a different message. Because that's what it's all about, folks. It's the cross. At the cross where I first saw the light. And the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith. There by faith. Are you listening? There by faith. Well, what'd you see? I didn't see anything. I believed what God said. By faith. By faith. Did you want to be saved? Yeah. Yeah, because I realized I was lost. Trumpet that we're lost. But trumpet that there's a salvation in Jesus Christ. Oh, let me tell you, if you can't preach the cross, then don't preach. Don't preach. You'll notice back in Numbers 10, another part of this call to assemble that we need to tell people about. We need to tell people in verse 3, it says, when they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. You know, there should always be an invitation. There should always be a way for them to get saved. Always. Always. Hey, you know, if you have your Bible and you tell someone, hey, Bible says that we're all sinners, and you show them that Jesus died on the cross to pay for their sin, don't leave out, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, and give them an opportunity to do that. Oh, church after church after church, they're cutting the altar call. They're cutting out the altar call. They're cutting out the invitation. That's the most important time of the day. Amen. Look at Isaiah 27, 13. I told you I added 5 minutes, so don't get nervous. Isaiah 27, 13. A couple folks up here still looking kind of strange. So, Isaiah 27, verse 13, look what it says. And it shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet shall be blown, and they shall come which were ready to perish. That's who needs to come, amen. They which were ready to perish in the land of Assyria and the outcasts in the land of Egypt, and shall worship the Lord in the holy mount at Jerusalem. What's the invitation about? It's about the lost getting saved. It's about the backslider getting right. Amen. That's what we trumpet. Hey, you're a priest. Trumpet it. You say, oh, so-and-so, they're living like the devil. Go to them with your trumpet. Go to them with the inspired, perfect Word of God and tell them from the Word of God. Jesus still loves you. Jesus wants you to come back. Hey, you can come back to Jesus anytime. Why would we tell everybody else about their sin instead of telling them about their sin? And saying, He loves you. I'm going to tell you something, folks. We average church is so carnal when it comes to people that are backslidden. It's no wonder Jesus is going to come soon. It's no wonder. I mean, it's no wonder there's so many people out there living wicked lives, and they used to sit where you sit. Because we'd rather get on the phone and talk about them than go to them and say eye to eye, God loves you. He still loves you. Why don't you get right with God? Hello? Amen. But we're the trumpeters. We're the ones that can. But our trumpets are in our pocket. They're in our purse. They're in our drawer. They're on a shelf. They have dust all over them. Amen. Call to salvation and a call to service. They played the trumpet when they were to stop. By the way, let me tell you something about these trumpets. Obedient to the trumpet call. That's exactly how it was in Numbers chapter 10. Obedient. Stop, go, worship, fight, praise. Every action was according to the trumpet's call. In the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah said, and I got to paraphrase, I can't get it right, exactly right, but he who played the trumpet stood by me. He stood by the leader. And the leader said, sound the trumpet. The army needs to go this way. Sound the trumpet. The enemy's over here. Sound the trumpet. That's how they communicated all of that. I'll talk more about that tonight. But listen to me. You have to understand something. It was all in obedience to what God said and to God's will. You know, our biggest problem, you had no right not to move when the trumpet sounded. No right not to do what the trumpet was commanding you to do. And mankind has no right not to obey this book. Doesn't matter who you are. No right. The lost have no right not to obey. And the backslider has no right not to obey. And the average Christian has no right not to obey. What's that mean? That means when that call to abide is there, then you stop. Just as the children of Israel, they stopped. Camp here! And Jesus says, be still and know that I am God. Be still. Be still. And God says, you better have some time where you come to me and know who I am. In the stillness of the day, in the stillness of the hour, you better talk to me. Be still. Be still. John chapter 15, abide in me, and I will abide in you. Hey, you look, folks, we're not going to make it if we don't do what He says to do. Be still. Abide in me. And then the sound comes. Go. Arise. Arise. And by the way, be still until it sounds. Arise when it sounds. And get up and get moving. Amen. Paul said, I press toward the mark. Notice what it says in Numbers chapter 10 and verse 5. It says, when you blow an alarm, then the camps that lie on the east part shall go forward. Amen. Hebrews 6, it says, let us go on. Let us go on. Well, I've reached my point. No, let us go on. Well, preacher, you know, I'm old and I don't need to grow anymore. No, you need to go on. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Trumpet's still sounding. Amen. Hey, when Israel was conquering, what did God say to do? Keep going. Praise God. There's much land that needs to be possessed. Keep going. You know, so many Christians are missing out on the land to be possessed because you stopped and made camp and God didn't blow the trumpet for you to stop and make camp. He blew the trumpet for you to keep on going. You know, why? I reached my point of growth 20 years ago. Then you're 20 years late on what God has for you. Hello? Amen. I'm going to amen myself, whether you amen or not. Because I believe it. When I was younger, I used to run down and I'd sit there and amen myself and then come back up and preach a little while. Then I ran down and I amen. But I don't know if I can do that anymore. I may try it tonight. I'll bring my asthma spray. Or oxygen. Call to abide, call to arise, call to alarm. Verse 9. And if you go to war in your land against the enemy that presseth you, then you shall blow an alarm with the trumpets, and you shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and you shall be saved from your enemies. Yeah, blow the alarm, amen. Blow the alarm. By the way, we need to blow an alarm because the devil comes like an angel of light, and if we don't have the Word of God to show us who he is, we don't know. And if we don't have some priest that'll blow the trumpet and let people know who he is, they don't know. Huh? You know, you'd rather talk baseball, football, basketball, all kinds of sports. How about talk, there's a devil that is disguised as an angel of light, and he's after your soul, and he's after your neighbor's soul, and he's after everybody else's soul, and blow the alarm. Huh? There is a conflict, folks. Yeah, I know. Blow the attack. Huh? What was used at Jericho? Trumpets. What was used with Gideon? Trumpets. What Nehemiah used? Trumpet. Huh? This book that tells us to abide, it tells us to arise, it tells us to blow an alarm, but it also tells us that we need to attack. And the gates of hell shall not prevail. Amen. Well, I'm just kind of suffering for Jesus. Put on the whole armor of God. Attack! Amen. Amen. I'm having a good time. Wolves in sheep's clothing. Who will identify them? Huh? Who's going to identify them? God's Word does. But we'd rather read Newsweek. Huh? Amen. God's Word identifies them. But boy, let a preacher preach about it. I was jack slapping, what's her name? The woman preacher some of you listen to. And you know, it's like, who's he think he is? I'll tell you who he thinks. He's a man of God trying to protect your gizzard. That's who he is. Amen. That's right. But again, I'm just blowing the trumpet. I didn't write the trumpet. Well, I'm a big, strong guy. I got to go listen to my woman preacher. I'm sure your wife preaches to you too. Anyway, let's move on. I'll move to happier things. We'll finish this part tonight. Next. Oh, yeah, you say that. Yeah. I know. Come on, preacher. I want to go home. No, but... Let me give you the last thing. Verse 10, this is so good. Also, here's another thing to blow the trumpet about. All right? Happy things. Notice, in the day of your gladness and in your solemn days, in the beginnings of your months, you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings, over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, that they may be to you for a memorial before your God. I am the Lord your God. Notice, the day of your gladness, we know they also blew the trumpet to announce the Jubilee. Whoopee! We're having a good time to anoint a king. Hallelujah! He is the king! Shouldn't we blow our trumpet? Amen. Hey, at Christmas, did you blow your trumpet or did you say, Happy Holiday. Happy Holiday. At Easter, do you blow your trumpet and say, He arose? Or do you say, Here comes Peter Cottontail. gladness, victory. We are more than conquerors. That's the way preaching ought to be. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Glory to God. You know, some folks never sound out a word of gladness. Hey, you get in this book, it's glad, glad, happy, 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 happy. It's good. It's exciting. You know, I read the end of it. I cheated. Many times I've read the end of it. Sometimes when I'm having a tough day, I read the end of it. Amen? Amen? I'm bringing my asthma spray tonight. But you know, we get so wrapped up in ourself and how we feel and everything. We're the trumpeters. And if the trumpeter can't blow over the gladness of the Word of God and rejoice in the Lord always and rejoice evermore, and the joy of the Lord is my strength, and we come to church and we say, you say, how long could you do that? About as long as you have. We're catching up. I'm just saying, folks, there's so much to be glad over and so much to rejoice over. Hey, get your trumpet out and talk about the good things of God. God is so good. It's not all, you know, yelling and screaming and hellfire and damnation. It's the comfort of the Lord. It's the blessings of God. It's the walk with God. It's that I come to the garden alone. And He walks with me and He talks with me. I'm not talking about a human being. I'm talking about God Almighty. He'll walk with you and He'll talk with you. And He'll tell you that He is your own and you're His. That's what it's about. And so many are missing out on it because our trumpets, they're in their case. They have dust on them. They're in our pockets. They're in our purses. They're in our coats. They're hidden. And all they need is the breath. Get out your trumpet. Tell people the truth. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. No one's looking around. How many today would say, preacher, I'm saved. I know it. No doubt about it. I'm going to heaven. I've trusted Christ as Savior. That is my testimony. Raise your hand. Is that testimony? I know I'm saved. No doubt about it. I've trusted Christ. Thank you. God bless you. I'm not going to embarrass anyone. I'm not going to point you out. But I wonder if there's someone here today who'd say, preacher, I don't know that. If I died right now, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I'm not sure I'm saved. Pray for me. Raise your hand if that's you. Pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. Anyone like that, pray for me. Pray for me. I wonder how many Christians would say, preacher, God has spoken to my heart as a Christian. I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. But God is dealing with me about something in my life. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand all over? Slip it up. Pray for me as a Christian. As a Christian, pray for me. Thank you, many folks. Father, bless the invitation. Have your will and your way. Lord, help us to obey your voice through your word. Help us to do exactly what you tell us to do with our lives. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. 315-315. Take my life and let it be. God, speak into your heart. You have a decision to make. You come.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to me. Take thy hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love, at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Take my voice and let me sing always only for my King. Always only for my King.
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, the instruments continue to play, many are praying. If you need to come, God's spoken to your heart about something today, you come. How's your trumpet? On a shelf somewhere? Oh, well, I brought it to church. Yeah, but do you ever take it anywhere else? How about thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against God? Do you have God's word hidden in your heart? Do you have tracts? Do you give out tracts? A tract in the pocket is the perfect word of God. It has that in your pocket. in your purse. All it needs is man to blow. Better yet, man led by the Spirit of God, with the Holy Spirit of God, and His power. Wow. What could happen? What could happen? I'll tell you what, you could take that word of God, you could help somebody not commit suicide. You could help somebody quit cutting themselves. You could help an alcoholic. Amen. Look up this way, please. Don't forget tonight, we have our ensemble at 4:30, 5 o'clock is choir, children's choirs, men's prayer time, ladies' prayer time. Our teens meet at 5, 6 o'clock the evening service, and we'll be looking for you there. Brother Don, would you close in prayer, please?
Father, we thank you for giving us a perfect, holy trumpet that we can use to announce your existence, your care, your love, your concern over us. Father, to a world that is in darkness and in dire need of the Savior that it proclaims. Lord, may we go from this place and proclaim, using your trumpet, the salvation that you have so freely given to us. Guide us and direct us, Lord. Gather us again safely tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.